Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is your favorite hour of the day. You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. It is such a pleasure to be with you all here on what is a Wednesday, January 15, 2020. I got the year right. I've been getting that wrong multiple times throughout this month. I'm still adjusting to saying 2020 and 2019, right? That happens every January for many of us. We've got a great hour of Current Sports coming your way. A lot to talk about. Mark D'Antonio is $4 million richer today. How about that? Mark D'Antonio got paid today. $4.3 million in his bank account. That's, of course, basically a performance bonus. D'Antonio's accomplishments of the past yielding him this $4.3 million bonus. Just want to briefly touch on that. Won't spend a lot of time on that story. We knew that was coming. We knew that was on the horizon. So congrats to Coach D, I guess. Also, I want to dive into this whole Houston Astros controversy. It has been well documented throughout this week, and we've seen a lot of fallout because of this story. Bottom line, the Houston Astros flat out cheated. Totally cheated. And we've seen the Houston Astros manager and general manager not just suspended by Major League Baseball, but the Astros completely decided to just part ways with those two individuals. I'll go into the details of that story later on, and we'll talk about how in the world the Astros got away with blatantly cheating. I mean, this is a team that won a World Series, folks. Major, major no-no there. Pretty creative way how they cheated, though. I must say that. All right. Also, Matt Shook. I just got the confirmation from him about an hour ago that he will indeed be able to join us here on today's Current Sports. Matt Shook is a Detroit Pistons sports writer for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. He is also the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, in which I am a frequent listener of, watching one of the worst teams in all of the association. But Matt Shook, he is the co-creator of a really cool documentary entitled Ipsy's Imani, which details Imani Bates, who is one of the best high school basketball players in the nation. Well, Ipsy's Imani is a documentary centered on Imani that talks about, you know, his run to a state championship during his freshman year campaign. All right. And it's really good.
Yeah, but he beat UAD Jesuit in the state championship game. And so props to him, but it didn't make me happy.
That was a buzzer-beating victory, too. I mean, Imani didn't seal the deal.
No, it wasn't him.
It wasn't him. I believe he passed the ball. Or did it ricochet off the rim?
It was off of a miss. That's
it was
correct.
Off of a miss. Yep. It bounces in his teammates' hands. And money. Nothing but the bottom of the nylon. Game over. Imani, though, had a great game. He really turned it on and and was, of course, a key contributor in that win for Lincoln High School. But you got to check this out. You know, Ipsy's Imani is a really well-done documentary. It's very well shot. When Matt Shook mentioned it on his Monday edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast, I checked it out before I went to bed that night, and I was so impressed with just how well done it was and the access that they got when it came to Imani Bates. Again, this kid was on the cover of Sports Illustrated last November, being heralded as like the greatest high school basketball player of all time. You know, it's crazy. That article still, you know, is ringing in my mind about what was said about Imani Bates being the second coming of LeBron James. So Matt Shook will join us. That's going to be a great conversation. I'll save the Pistons questions for the back end of that interview, all right? So I will spare you. I will spare you Pistons talk on today's Current Sports with Matt Shook. And then again, I'm going to save the D'Antonio chatter about his bonus for the back end of this show. All right? So a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. Comment below that video. A few of you already doing so. A few of you mentioning men's college basketball. A few of you mentioning the upset that was for Duke as Clemson beat Duke. Clemson also beat North Carolina. North Carolina is not making the NCAA tournament this year. That's just a bad team. Roy Williams, what in the world is going on out there? But Clemson with the big win over Coach K. Shocker there. So many people commenting there. Shout out to Ben for that comment. So you can go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, comment that way. Also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. Dollar, dollar, dollar bill, y'all. Mark D'Antonio. I mean, he's laughing to the bank today, right? Less than 2 months after leading Michigan State to a spot in the college football playoff, he was rewarded as Mark D'Antonio, head football coach of your Michigan State Spartans. He signed a new contract back in February 12th of 2016 that increased his annual salary from $3.6 million to $4.3 million. The 12-page document featured a series of performance bonuses, including winning a Big Ten championship, landing a spot in the CFP, and being named the conference's coach of the year. So today, Mark D'Antonio, he cashed in on that $4.3 million bonus. Yeah, that's got to be nice, right? And you know, the contract also includes a bigger number not tied to success, receiving that $4.3 million bonus. On November 19th, if you remember, he said that he planned on returning for a 14th season leading the program. And when D'Antonio signed the new contract, you know, Michigan State coming off one of the greatest runs in program history. Those were the good days of Spartan football, right? You know, he took over in 07. that had posted three straight losing seasons, that team, and then accomplished what few considered possible turning the Spartans into a Big Ten power, competing on the national stage from 2013 to 2015. He led the Spartans to a pair of conference titles, wins in the Rose Bowl and the Cotton Bowl, and a spot in the CFP semis, while posting a combined record of 36-5 in those three seasons. So, you know, this bonus is based on Mark D'Antonio's success of the past. Many people believe that this program and Mark D'Antonio has rested on its laurels. So, more on that bonus for Coach D later on this hour. But it must be nice, right? You know, you go to the Pinstripe Bowl, you don't have a great year. It's been a while since Michigan State has legitimately competed in the Big Ten Conference. And Mark D'Antonio gets $4.3 million. Okay, to Michigan football news. Another Michigan football player is hitting the NCAA's transfer portal. And this one is a blow to the Wolverines' defensive line. Michael Dwumfor, who was apparently granted a medical redshirt and one more season of eligibility, he announced yesterday on social media plans to transfer after graduation. So another player on the maize and blue, chucking up the deuces and hitting the portal. You know, every time I say transfer portal, I feel like I'm straight out of a sci-fi movie. The transfer portal. Do you feel like that, Jack? Portal? Who came up with that word?
I don't know. I guess now that you mentioned it, yeah, a little bit. But I don't know. There's got to be like a more fitting word for it than the portal, right?
Yeah, the portal. I feel like I'm in Star Trek, man.
But I don't know. I mean, at the same time, it makes it sound probably a lot cooler than it is. Yeah. So maybe we should just stick with portal.
Yeah, we'll stick with it. It's cool. It's cool. It's very Star Wars, Star Trek-esque. All right. Also, very sad news here. As Flint native Joe Roberson, a former University of Michigan AD and member of the Greater Flint Area Sports Hall of Fame, he sadly passed away on Monday at his home in Grand Blanc. He was 84 years old. Roberson, he served as Michigan's athletic director from 1994 to 97. He hired Lloyd Carr as the head football coach, leading the Wolverines to winning a national championship in 1997. Michigan also won national championships in both hockey in 96 and swimming and diving in 1995 under Joe Warburson's watch. So thoughts and prayers go out to Roberson's family and friends. I'm certain he will be missed out in Ann Arbor. Okay. A former Penn State football player is suing the university and head football coach James Franklin in federal court, alleging that he was subjected to sexual harassment and hazing by several former teammates that was ignored by Franklin and others. In a lawsuit, Isaiah Humphreys, who is a safety who transferred to California after one season with the Nittany Lions, he alleges that throughout the fall of 2018, he endured hazing from four former teammates that included wrestling him to the ground and mimicking sex acts. Also verbal threats that included a reference to Jerry Sandusky, who, of course, is the former Nittany Lions defensive coordinator and convicted child molester. But this was a headline that I couldn't believe I was reading yesterday. So we'll be following that one. I'm going to try and get a guest on either late this week or sometime next week who covers Penn State to comb through the details of those allegations from Isaiah Humphreys. Okay, this is long overdue. The Detroit Lions have another Hall of Famer in the family. Defensive tackle Alex Karras was selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Wednesday, today, as a member of the 15-person Centennial Class. Karras, who starred for the Lions in 1958 to 1970, was one of 10 senior-era players picked as by a panel of voters that will be enshrined in Canton later on this year. Three contributors and two previously named coaches in Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher also were picked as part of the Centennial Class. It was really cool watching CBS this past weekend in the NFL coverage when Bill Cowher found out the news, also on Fox, as Jimmy Johnson got the news. He was very teary-eyed and emotional. That was just awesome to see in live time as they received word. So,
did you see how big the guy is who was inducting them into the Hall of Fame?
Dude, he's like 8 foot.
He's 6 foot nine, 400 pounds. And that's not a joke.
Not a joke at all. You know, me and my stepdad, we were texting back and forth talking about that very topic. I mean, that's a big dude.
The best part was like he was in the studio with like Michael Strahan and like Howie Long, guys that were like NFL players, and he just towered over even those guys.
Exactly.
He was awesome.
Yeah, and just watching Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher get that news, watching it live, that was pretty cool stuff. So they'll be joined. Cowher and Johnson will be joined by up to five modern era players who will be chosen by the regular Hall of Fame selection committee before the Super Bowl next month. Of course, we had Rick Gosselin on the show. He's a Pro Football Hall of Fame writer. Yes, his name is in the writer's wing of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Rick Gosselin is also an MSU alum. He joined us live in studio on Friday. We had a great conversation with him. And I remember Rick saying that, yeah, Alex Karras is probably going to get in. He kind of tipped us off to that news on Friday. So shout out to Rick. Thank you, Rick. Okay. Carolina Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly fighting back tears in a video posted on social media. He announced on last night's social media page, his social media page. I don't know if that was on Twitter. Was that Instagram? I don't know which platform that was, Jack.
It was Twitter where I saw it.
It was Twitter. It was on Twitter. So he announced his plans to retire from the NFL at the age of just 28 years old. This is what Kuechly had to say. Quote, "There's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid. Play fast, play physical, play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. That's the part that is the most difficult. I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. I thought about it for a long time. Now is an opportunity to step away with what's going on here." So L.A. Chargers tight end, also Antonio Gates, an eight-time Pro Bowler who played in 2018, made his retirement official yesterday. Gates is 39 years old. He is the Chargers' career leader in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdown catches. He did not play last season after he went unsigned as a free agent. He finished the 2018 regular season with 28 receptions for 333 receiving yards and two scores. So, two big names in the world of pro football retiring. All right, the Detroit Red Wings. They fell to the New York Islanders. They just got blown out last night, 8-2. I think Jimmy Howard, if I heard correctly, he was pulled after giving up three goals last night.
Very quickly, and Calvin Pickard took over. Yeah,
sheesh, just a horrid year for the Wings right now. Stevie Y is going to get this thing together, though. You still have faith that he is.
I mean, no doubt. And this season really has nothing to do with Steve Yzerman. None of these are really his players. So, no, I'm not concerned about it at all. You know what was funny was I was actually at the Brody Calf yesterday, and I didn't even realize the Red Wings were playing, and I was on Twitter just, you know, scrolling through my feed. And right away it was 2-0, like less than 5 minutes into the game. So, you know, pretty much par for the course.
It's really tough watching Detroit sports right now, including my Detroit Pistons, who are in action tonight on the road against the Boston Celtics. That's a 7 p.m. tip time, if you care. And also, with the Detroit Pistons headed to another loss, Derrick Rose let his frustrations boil to the surface, and it will cost him $25,000, as the NBA announced yesterday afternoon that Rose was fined for throwing a pin into the stands at Little Caesars Arena in the final moments of Monday night's 117-110 overtime loss at the hands of the New Orleans Pelicans. So Rose threw a pin. 25K, just like that. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's just keep it pushing.
Today's a very difficult day for the Houston Astros. MLB did a very thorough investigation, and the Astros fully cooperated. We accept their decisions and findings and penalties. We worked very hard to build this organization for our employees, fans, sponsors, community, and the city to all be proud. With that being said, there's two very important points I want to make today. I have higher standards for the city and the franchise, and I'm going above and beyond MLB's penalty. Today, I have made the decision to dismiss A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. We need to move forward with a clean slate, and the Astros will become stronger, a stronger organization because of this today.
Okay, let's get right to it. Don't have much time before we welcome our guest for today's Current Sports, but what you just heard was the voice of Jim Crane, who is the Houston Astros owner and chairman. That press conference took place 2 days ago, in which Crane announced that Astros manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow were fired. They were parting ways with Hinch and Luhnow, who had already been suspended just 1 year by the MLB, which baffled me. I said 1 year for cheating on that kind of level? But this is huge, because anytime you're talking about questioning the integrity of the game, especially when it comes to the major North American sports like the National Football League, like the NBA, like the MLB, like the NHL. You know, I don't have to bring up the New England Patriots Deflategate scandal, right? I mean, and how big that was. So anytime you're questioning the integrity of the game due to some kind of perceived cheating, and in this case, it was blatant cheating. Period. The Astros were found guilty of this. Deflategate, we can go back and forth about that whole thing. And there are some other scandals in sports history we can go back and forth about. I can bring up Tim Donaghy in the NBA. I can go on and on and on. But when you are found guilty and you are caught red-handed for cheating, the punishment has to be swift and it has to be harsh. And as I mentioned on Monday, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, he announced punishments for the Astros stemming from the club's sign-stealing scheme. You know, it was revealed in November that the team devised a system to illegally steal signs throughout its 2017 World Series championship season. And just a quick recap of the discipline. Manager A.J. Hinch, as I mentioned, he was suspended for 1 year by Major League Baseball. Hinch was then fired by the Astros. Jim Crane, you heard his voice. GM Jeff Luhnow, again, suspended for 1 year, fired by the Astros. Former assistant GM Brandon Taubman, he was suspended 1 year. The Astros forfeit their first and second round draft picks the next 2 years. The Astros fined $5 million, that's the maximum allowed under the MLB's constitution. I think that's just a slap on the wrist. $5 million in a league that brings in so much revenue? And Manfred released a 9-page report detailing the MLB's investigation and explaining how he arrived at the discipline. Really interesting report. I got a chance to peruse a bit through it earlier this week, but I don't know how something like this happens. You know, the first person that told me about this was that was actually Alec Rio. One day said, "Al, you gotta dig into this whole Houston Astros thing." I said, "What are you talking about?" And I kind of just brushed it aside. You're like, "All right, I'll check it out." Never really checked it out, and then it became like a bigger storyline as the weeks went on, and then boom, went the dynamite. And, you know, earlier this week, I'm like, how do you steal signs? How did this happen? And I watched a video on YouTube that broke down how the Astros cheated, blatantly cheated. Apparently, Jack, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a camera in the outfield that relays a message visually to the dugout.
Yeah, the sign that the catcher is giving the pitcher.
The sign that the catcher is giving the pitcher, that is caught on a camera in the outfield. The dugout can see it, so they know what's coming for that batter. To tip the batter off, they would bang on garbage cans. Bang on garbage cans.
It's actually a pretty brilliant strategy when you think about it, and very funny.
It's very smart, pretty hilarious as well. But you know, that batter would listen, like, okay, is that going to be a changeup? All right, let's knock on the garbage can once for that. Now, again, I don't know if this was the exact, you know, if it was a changeup, knock once for changeup. I'm just making up stuff here. But you get what I'm saying here. All right, if changeup, knock once on the garbage can. All right, now I know. The batter hears that. Especially if you're talking about a regular season MLB game where there's not a lot of people there. Pretty empty. All right, I can hear that pretty clearly. All right, I know what's coming. And that is a huge advantage if you, as a batter, knows what kind of pitch is coming your way. That is a huge advantage. Makes it incredibly, incredibly easy to put your bat on the ball. And there was one video I watched. I don't know who the pitcher was, but he was a Chicago White Sox pitcher. He immediately called on to it. He's like, all right. And, you know, he takes some time and actually called the catcher over. And they discuss, like, yeah, man, they know what we're calling. We got to change this up a bit. And he may have been one of the players that reported this nonsense. But I'm not going to sit here and repeat, you know, takes that you probably already heard or already discussed, you know, at the water cooler at work or in your local barbershop or texting or on the phone with your homies. For me, this punishment is a little too light, if you ask me, Jack. They need that 2017 World Series championship stripped away.
But what's that going to do? But what's that going to do to vacate a championship?
It's like you've played it already, right? You've already, and I can just only imagine. I mean, you know, you go a whole season where this happens. First off, how in the world does that happen? You let this happen the regular season and into the playoffs. All of this was going down. I mean, can you imagine? You know what the and who did they play in 2017? Was that the Dodgers? Who was that in that World
Series? I believe, yeah, it was the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That was the
yeah.
LA Dodgers, I believe. Can you imagine what they're feeling? What other players and teams are feeling? I know CC Sabathia came out and said, "I feel cheated right now," and I get it, Jack. You know, what can you do? You know, it's like when we discuss these college scandals, right? You know, when we discuss the whole Ed Martin scandal at the University of Michigan. No relation. I always say that with Ed Martin, even though my grandfather was named Ed Martin. No relation to Ed Martin. But when that whole thing happened with Chris Webber and the Fab Five, Jalen Rose and company, and they stripped the University of Michigan of all of its accomplishments on the hardwood, it's like, okay, yeah, what does that do? You know, what does that do? You're taking it down. We all know you still played the games. It's etched in sports history. And I get that. But you gotta go there now. You know, you gotta go there because, I mean, you can't have them labeled as the 2017 World Series champs after something of this magnitude. And it makes me wonder, I always think about this. You know, if the Astros are doing this, you just can't help but think now, how prevalent is cheating in Major League Baseball today? It may not be a garbage can signal stealing kind of cheating, but in other ways, I don't know. You know, I think about, you know,
steroid
use in baseball. I think about, you know, corked bats back in the day. And baseball, let's be honest here, baseball isn't the most popular sport here in 2020. The ratings have been suffering for years. The youth is not playing baseball. So this is the last thing you need for this sport, and this happens. It's just really unfortunate, man. Really unfortunate. And you know, I heard some Detroit Tigers fans out there on social media. I read some takes out there from Tigers fans saying, oh, this is really unfortunate for Justin Verlander. No, look. I could care less about JV, a multi-million dollar baseball player. I could care less about his feelings and how unfortunate this is for him. Look, if he was a player on that team, I'm pretty sure he knew about this. Everybody, every player, every GM, everybody. I hold Jim Crane. Crane says, and the Houston Astros in this whole report, they were fully cooperative. Crane says that he didn't know about this. But look, upper management, your GM, excuse me, your manager, everybody a part of that organization, affiliated with that organization, is guilty here. Something of this magnitude, everybody's feet needs to be held to the fire. So I don't care about JV's feelings in this regard.
Okay, but fair, it has nothing to do with Justin Verlander, though, because he's a pitcher.
You know what I mean?
Like, he didn't benefit from it the way, you know, guys that play other positions did. It had no impact on his performance.
But, Jack, if you're on that roster and you know that your team is cheating, I mean, come on, man. Dude. It's just like, come on.
Sure, I mean, I guess I agree with that, but what was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to snitch on the team?
Snitch on him!
Oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, will you please?
We live in the culture.
Will you please?
Stitches, I'm from the D, blah, blah, blah. But if you know your team is cheating, I mean, how can you look at that ring, that fat diamond ring on your finger, and feel good about that? Knowing that you cheated your way, your team cheated your way to a World Series.
How could any college basketball player that's had money dropped at their feet by this logic then think that anything
that's
they accomplished
different.
How is it different?
This is in game. I mean, like, at least with hoops, I mean, I know that, okay, I was going mano a mano against you on an equal playing field.
Sure.
You didn't, you know, this is in game cheating. Like, they knew, the batters knew what was coming their way, Jack.
Well, I mean,
it's like, come on.
Well, I mean, first of all, tipping pitches is actually legal. It was just the manner they went to in order to steal these signs that was not legal from the Houston Astros
tipping
perspective.
Tipping pitches of this magnitude, like,
You're not allowed to use, like camera angles, but yeah, tipping pitches is legal. But you
know what's coming just about every pitch. Every pitch, you know what's coming.
Yes,
dude.
Yes,
I mean,
that's
come
true.
On. You know how big of an advantage that is in the game of baseball?
Okay, but how big of an advantage is it, like, in college basketball when boosters drop money at players' feet and then they build the super team because they offered money that other programs aren't able to offer.
But in college basketball, Jack, we've seen those super teams don't always win the national championship.
Sure.
Just ask John Calipari. You know what I mean? I mean, it's different for me.
I understand, but I mean, just saying that, like, Justin Verlander is supposed to snitch on his teammates, I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Somebody gotta speak up, man.
That's
moral
ridiculous.
Compass as a player? I question everybody's moral compass on that team. It's like, dude, if I know, this is me. If I know I'm cheating my way to wins, I got to speak up and say something. That's just me. That's just how I'm talking.
I guess you're a better man than I am.
Exactly.
Would you endorse Michigan State cheating if it meant they won another national championship?
No. Heck no, Jack.
Okay.
There's a taint on that. I wouldn't feel like I deserved it. Like, I'm a type of guy, look, man, if I'm competing against you, I don't want any competitive advantage within the game. Okay, if I'm just outworking you, cool. If I'm outworking you and you're not better than me because of that, and I'm just better than you, cool.
Well, I'm not talking about like a cheating scandal like this, but if it came out that Michigan State was paying players but they won a national championship, would you be okay with that or no?
Not at all.
No? Mm-mm. Okay.
Not at all, man. Let's hit our first break. We got to get to Matt Shook. Your thoughts on this, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can weigh in right below the live stream. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Getting a lot of reaction from you guys on Facebook.com/WKAR News. I'm going to get to those comments later on this hour because we got to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I am a frequent listener of the Locked On Pistons podcast. You guys know I'm a diehard Detroit Pistons fan, and you know, watching this team in recent years has been certainly an eyesore, to say the least. But I ride or die with my team, just like many of you Detroit Lions fans out there. So I can relate. I can relate just a bit. All right. But Matt Shook is a host on the Locked On Pistons podcast, and he is also a Pistons writer, sports writer for the Detroit News and Associated Press. But I don't want to start with talking Pistons basketball with him. I'll spare you that for the back end of this interview, as promised at the top of this hour, because I want to talk about a really cool film, a really cool movie in which he is the co-creator of, entitled Ipsy's Imani. I didn't know about this film until I was listening to Monday's edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast, in which Matt and his co-creator of the film, they were kind of detailing what it was about, and it follows one of the top high school basketball players in the nation who resides right in Ypsilanti, Imani Bates, and his run to a state championship during his freshman campaign last season at Lincoln High School. So right now we do have Matt Shook on line one. Matt, how you doing, my man? And thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Appreciate you having me on.
I want to just dive right into Ipsy's Imani, because, Matt, I was so impressed with the creativity of the documentary, how well it was shot, how well it was narrated by you. I mean, just an all-around great film. Can you just kind of take us inside of how this whole thing came about first?
Yeah, we were introduced together by a mutual friend, Greg DeLiso, as you mentioned, the co-creator of the film, a huge part of the creative force of putting it together and the technical aspect of it, the shooting aspect of it. I worked on the story and the narration and the interviews and gave input on a lot of other things as well. But like I said, we did a lot of the pre-work for the first half of it, and then Greg just kind of ran wild on the film editor and put that stuff together. So, you know, a lot of the credit obviously has to go to Greg DeLiso, but we came together as friends, and you know, we're both kind of freelancers that are looking for other projects as we go along. And we met a year ago, almost to the day, really more like 11 months ago. And we're talking about what potential projects we could do. Greg's a big hockey fan. I gear more towards basketball. And I said, well, you know, I had just moved back to Michigan a few months before this and had been reading about Imani Bates through different articles. And I follow basketball very closely. So I was pretty well aware of Imani at this time. And I looked up my phone and I'm like, you know, he has a home game, his last home regular season game coming up in a few days. So we just grabbed the camera, called the athletic director, made sure it was all right to do this. And we went down there and talked with DJ Bates at the game, his father, and ended up following their run for a few games. And like you said, shot very creatively, and I give all credit to Greg for this, because he's a guy who is a filmmaker and does like some horror movies, some campy movies, this kind of thing. He has never really done anything in sports before, but because of that, it gave it a really unique perspective, because he's shooting from a non-sports perspective. We've all seen YouTube videos and mixtapes and stuff like that, and even up to the pros, the sports centers and everything, highlights of regular basketball plays, but this was a lot different. It was shot different. And I think there's a very unique look to it. And all the things that Greg added were different than what you normally see in a sports documentary. And we also got lucky in that the games that we happened to go to were games where we battled a little bit of adversity and was kind of dealing with that throughout. It made kind of a natural story arc. And it came together for a nice 20-minute movie that we're very proud of.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know what, Matt, something you talked about on Monday's edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast, when you had Greg DeLiso, the co-creator of the film, on as a guest, and you guys were talking about the film. And one of those challenges were when you first started shooting Imani, he didn't play that great, right? So it's kind of a double-edged sword there, because, you know, you want to get some great highlights of Imani, but on the other hand, he's not playing great. But on the other hand, it kind of adds some nice depth to this story of this young man who is so highly touted, who was struggling a bit. It came together at the end, but how did you guys view that at first when you're going out to these games and Imani isn't necessarily having his best outing?
Yeah, I think early on that we were just kind of looking for as much footage as we could get and figuring out what games we could go to. And like I said, that day was a couple of days later where they played Hanover Horton. And we really didn't know what to expect. Of course, I've seen all sorts of high school basketball stars throughout my career. So I kind of expected, in Washtenaw County in the public school league that Imani would go out and score 35 pretty easily against a team like Hanover Horton and teams that he would play along the way. But yeah, that wasn't to be the case. He really kind of struggled at times. I think as a freshman, as a 15-year-old at the time, I think that it was a lot. I mean, he was playing like 3 games in 5 nights kind of thing. This was towards the end of the season. It seemed like things were kind of weighing on him a little bit. And as the playoffs got closer, maybe he got a little bit more rest. He got a little bit more focused and was able to, play through a couple more bad games as time went on. But by the time he got to the Breslin Center, to the semifinals and the finals, he obviously turned it back up. But yeah, like I said, I consider ourselves fortunate that we were able to see a little bit of the struggle and a little bit of the place where he had to dig deep. And I think that's going to serve him well as time goes on. Obviously, the big prize for him is not going to be anything that happens in these next couple of years, but what happens down the road when he's challenged, whether that be at the Division I level at a high major school, if that's what happens for him, or if he ends up in the NBA and possibly reaching the heights of the top of the NBA. So I think it was, as EJ Bates says in the film, he considers them lessons, not just the losses that they faced and some of the tough times that he had along the way. And like I said, the thing that's nice about this film, and people are checking it out for the first time this week, we're over 10,000 views on Vimeo so far, but I think it's going to have a cool shelf life where maybe 5 years from now when he gets drafted or 3 years from now or whatever it is, when an NBA team checks him out, that they'll Google Imani Bates, find this film, and maybe see where he kind of came of age a little bit.
That is so true, Matt. And you know what? I mean, this is a young man whose name is everywhere right now. You know, and I mentioned earlier on in the show how back in November, I mean, Imani Bates graced the cover of Sports Illustrated on the title of the piece. It was read, "Born for This, Magic, Michael, LeBron, and the 15-year-old who's next in line." And you guys get the chance to get very personal with Imani, to sit down with him and detail that freshman campaign. I mean, you guys got to feel a little bit fortunate that, you know, that you guys had that kind of access for a young man who's transforming into one of the biggest names in high school sports right now.
Yeah, if we decided to do this today, kind of going forward, I don't know that it would be possible to get it done, just because there's so many people that want to kind of get a piece of him at this point. And it wasn't like it was easy for us. You know, we spent a lot of time in Ypsilanti. You do the initial meet with EJ. You talk to him on the phone a few times. The whole thing was a process in and of itself. You know, our other partner, Mike O'Brien, who was involved in this project from the beginning and all the way till the end as well. The three of us kind of made some trips to Ypsilanti, two of us at a time, and just kind of, just be in the right place at the right time. Don't be too all over them and don't bug them too much, but just kind of be very honest about what we're trying to do. There's no money involved. You see that it's on Vimeo for free. It's not like anyone paid us to do it. You know, we bankrolled the whole thing. It wasn't a lot of money, but we put the time and the money into it and was very clear that this is not something where we're trying to sell it to something lucrative or anything like that. It's kind of an art project in a lot of ways, and ways for Greg to show what he can do as a filmmaker and for me to kind of broaden my horizons as a creator of content as well. So I think that they kind of saw that very right away, that it wasn't just something that we were going to kind of try to make a lot of money off of them or try to act like we're taking things from them or something like that. So it was a really unique project. You know, as a sports writer in newspapers myself, it's very different than anything I've done. Everything else that I've kind of done in my career to a large extent has been very straightforward as far as I'm going to write this story or I'm going to do this podcast, and I'm hoping you could help out with that. So definitely a learning experience for all of us. And then a lot of throughout the year, a lot of the things that we were talking about with each other was how we're going to release this, what kind of things do we hope to accomplish with this, those kind of questions. And we kind of changed course about 50 times throughout the year. But we're just happy to have people see it. And, we've entered into a few film festivals and hope that maybe something can come of that as well, as far as some more eyes getting at it down the road. But, yeah, it was quite an experience and a fun one at that.
Matt Shook, Detroit Pistons sports writer for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, and co-creator of the film Ipsy's Imani, detailing the top high school basketball prospects, certainly here in the state of Michigan and arguably nationally as well, in Imani Bates. Matt, you know, something that's so eerie. I'm a huge fan of not just film. I've been acting for 2 years now, so I really enjoy film. But Matt, something that one of my big film inspirations is Spike Lee. And one of my favorite films from Spike, you already know where I'm going here, is He Got Game. You guys actually used footage, fittingly, from that film in this documentary, because there are some eerie similarities between Jesus Shuttlesworth, played by Ray Allen in that famed film of the 90s, directed by Spike Lee and created by Spike Lee, because Imani plays for the Lincoln Rail Splitters. That's the same high school name that Jesus Shuttlesworth played for in the film. And you're dealing with two high school phenoms in Shuttlesworth and Imani Bates, really kind of faced with similar decisions here. How mind-blowing was that for you guys when putting this thing together?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. We walked into that gym for the first game, and we knew he played for Ypsilanti Lincoln, obviously. But when we found that he was wearing the blue and the white, and he was playing for the Lincoln Rail Splitters, it was just unbelievable. But and obviously the core arc of that story that Spike Lee put together, and I saw that when I was a teenager, and just loved that film as well, is the relationship between the father and the son. And obviously, there's a huge part of the theme of the movie that we put together was the relationship between the father and the son as well. Now these relationships couldn't be more different, obviously, but I think the ties with that, and like you said, the eerie part of it, the irony of it, it was just unbelievable. And Greg, as not a huge basketball fan himself, but someone who loved Spike Lee, loved that film in particular, he was drawn to that at the very beginning. It was just more in my face. When we walked into the gym, I was like, the Lincoln Rail Splitters, are you kidding me? This is unbelievable. And it took Greg a few minutes to kind of make that connection himself. But when he did, I think he was kind of jaw dropped to the floor. So he was in on this project kind of from the very beginning in a lot of ways because of that. But, yeah, I was glad that we were able to use a lot of that. And like I said, you know, because we're, you know, just releasing this for free and it's not a money thing, we were able to take some creative liberties and use, you know, some of the Public Enemy song and some of the clips for the movie like that. So just more reasons why, again, and this is a film that I know a lot of your listeners might not even be huge basketball fans too. So if you're just not a hoops head like Al and myself are, you might find a lot in this film that you might like. And I think that's something that we're pretty proud of. So I would encourage folks to have a look.
Yeah, certainly. And Matt, I don't know if you know the answer to this question or not, but I'm going to ask it. You know, the similarities are so in your face. The Lincoln Rail Splitters, the same exact high school name in that film. Did Spike Lee know about this school in Ypsilanti? Is there any connection at all between Ypsilanti and Lincoln High School and this film, of He Got Game?
Yeah, well, I don't think so, because, you know, the Coney Island high school is a real high school. Lincoln
gotcha.
High School on Coney Island, the Rail Splitters. So
right.
I think that, you know, I don't know the blue, if maybe when they were thinking of symbols or colors for the Ypsilanti Lincoln High School, like maybe that was part of it. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's a historical connection between maybe the two schools or maybe what Spike Lee was looking for. But the fact that, and EJ says in the film, it was kind of a humorous moment because we had to check and see. You didn't pick the school because I know he actually picked the school because he was very familiar with Jesse Davis, who's the coach of the team. He played in college, junior college basketball with him, and kind of knew him. And as they were looking around, it was a coach that he could trust. But just the amazing coincidence that he ended up at Lincoln High for the blue and white Rail Splitters was an unbelievable one for sure.
Certainly. All right, final question for you, Matt, before we get you out of here. What I really appreciated was the homework you all did for this film when it comes to the inclusion of talking about Ypsilanti as a town. Now, I must warn Spartan fans out there, Michigan State fans may have a problem a little bit with the line that you use. Like, hey, you know, Ypsilanti is kind of like, you know, how Michigan State is in East Lansing in comparison to Ann Arbor as the as being looked at as the little brother to Ann Arbor. Yeah. That was a funny line, Matt. But so you talk about how Ipsy is kind of looked at as the little brother to, I don't know, like Detroit or Ann Arbor itself as well. But you guys really did some great research in including some historical context to the underdog city that is Ypsilanti. Why did you guys feel the need to include that?
Yeah, well, first off, I did get some blowback from the MSU people. You're right about that. It definitely have heard that. That's probably the biggest criticism I've gotten so far on the film. But I wanted to make clear that that was spoken through the context of here's what people from Ann Arbor thought about that. And I know that that's evolved into this kind of somewhat, I don't know, a little bit ugly argument between the two fan bases, rivals yeah. would be rivals and whatever. And I'm certainly neutral in this. I went to Central Michigan, was a Michigan fan growing up, but certainly love when the MSU Spartans have success and all that too. But anyway, like you asked, EJ Bates from the very beginning, as you know, because there was that was a little bit of the relationship thing that we were trying to, you know, kind of ingratiate ourselves a little bit with EJ and Imani and the coaches and the athletic directors and all that. So we had asked him, you know, from the very beginning, if we were to do this for you, or if we were to kind of hope to put together a nice little piece. What would you want out of it? What do you think would be something that would be beneficial on your end? And he said that if it was something that was kind of a gift to the city, to his town, to the city of Ypsilanti, to the region of Ann Arbor kind of as a whole. So that's we took that very seriously. It took a lot of time going to Ypsilanti historical museums, acquiring a lot of the footage that you see in the film, the old school documentary that we kind of used a little piece of. We had lots of all sorts of other material. Trust me, there was three times that as far as historical stuff. We went back to how Ypsilanti was founded, the teachers' college that Eastern Michigan would become. There was more and more there, but we just figured we didn't want to turn it into a 45-minute thing or bog it down, take it away from the main focus of Imani. But yeah, we feel like we did a good job of including it as kind of a tribute to not only a father and son relationship, a great basketball player, but also the town where he came from. And we felt so strongly enough that we wanted to include Ypsilanti within the title and have it be kind of a main character in the piece.
Matt, yourself and Greg did one outstanding job. Due to time, we're going to have to get you on another time to talk about the Detroit Pistons. I'm sure many of my listeners they're not sobbing about that. But Matt,
hey, no problem. We got some couple weeks before the trade deadline, so maybe things could get interesting here pretty soon.
Exactly, Matt. But for my listeners out there, how can they follow your work and how can they check out Ipsy's Imani?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, and that's SCHOCH, another underscore after that. I do all the podcast episodes up there, and the links to it can be found right there. It's a Vimeo link. So Vimeo.com, and then there's a bunch of numbers there. But the easiest way to find it is to go onto social media and find the links that I've been throwing out there. But you could probably search Ipsy's Imani and Vimeo, and you'd find it real easily there. But I would encourage folks to check it out. Plug it in on your smart TV. Watch it on as big a screen as possible, and it'll pop a little bit more for you. And enjoy the soundtrack, too, because there's some amazing music that we've got in there alongside.
Without a doubt. Matt, thank you so much, brother. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Al. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Matt Shook, the great Matt Shook, Detroit Pistons sports writer for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Let's hear our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Wednesday, hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Wow, does time fly when you're having fun. We have a little under, 2 minutes now left here in the show. We just finished up a chat with Matt Shook, Detroit Pistons sports writer for the Detroit News and AP, host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Well, we didn't talk any Pistons with him because we wanted to dive into a really great movie entitled Ipsy's Imani, in which Matt Shook, along with co-creator Greg DeLiso, they linked up and put together a really great film that is centered on Imani Bates, the high school basketball phenom that he is. And Jack, you know what? You brought up yesterday, I believe, that Imani may reclassify so that he comes out a year earlier than predicted, 2021 instead of 2022?
I'd just seen that rumor floating around Twitter. I don't think it was espoused by anyone credible.
Okay.
So, gotcha. You know, definitely not sure it has, you know, any wheels behind it. But, yeah, I saw something that he might be considering reclassifying.
Interesting. That'd be an interesting development in this young man's already crazy, crazy basketball life. There's so much hype surrounded around Imani Bates, but check it out. I also want to give a shout out to Dervon Thompson, who is a part of the Current Sports family now, at least for the next few months, working with the Journalism 418 class. He provided some extra homework for us on the Houston Astros scandal. A few points I'll bring up for sure on tomorrow's Current Sports. But until then, happy Thursday to you all. Again, thanks to Matt Shook, Jack Kerwin. Thank you behind the glass, and be easy, people.